Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the EWN Radio Network. You're listening to Felicia Lee on the EWN Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the Jumping the Gap Radio Show. This is your host, Felicia Lee, and today I am thrilled to have a special guest with me today. We have Tracy Repchuk, and those of you who are eWomen members will know Tracy very well, and I'm just thrilled to have her on the show today. Tracy's going to share with us her journey in building a seven-figure business. For any of you who are new listeners to our show, in this show every week, we talk about what is required to build a seven-figure business. And so each week, I interview a woman business owner who has either built or founded or run a million-dollar company, and we talk about the journey that they took to get there. And my mission in this show is to really give you the backstage pass and peel back the curtain so that you can be inspired and be equipped with practical strategies to grow your business. What I know is that what got you here today likely isn't what you need for tomorrow. And so we are going to help you jump that gap to build your own seven-figure business. And today I am thrilled to have Tracy to share her journey with us. And so Tracy Repchuk is a seven-time international best-selling author and online branding and social media strategist. And she's also a speaker. And she shows people how to attract ideal clients, how to catapult their sales and reach millions of viewers with their message. As an award-winning entrepreneur since the age of 19, she has helped thousands of clients and can take your business to the next level by creating a fully branded end-to-end online presence in under 60 days. Tracy is a featured technology expert on TV and on media, such as NBC, Fox, CBS, CTV, CityTV, CBC, CW, ABC, and many others, and has spoken in over 35 countries on her topics. And today I am thrilled to have Tracy with me because we're going to be talking about how you grow and scale your business and take it from where you are to where you want it to be. So Tracy, so welcome you to the show today. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Felicia. I'm so excited to be sharing this, especially with the eWomen Network, primarily because, you know, it's important. Women are the entrepreneurial future right now. We're commanding the marketplace, and in order to continue to do that, we have to have the skills in place to grow.
I love it. And so, Tracy, I want to dive right in. And maybe we can start with having you share with our listeners a bit about your background. Tell us a bit more about yourself, and maybe walk us through the journey of you building your seven-figure business, and so we can learn a bit more about you today.
Well, that's super. I mean, I started, as you heard, at the age of 19. So quite frankly, I knew nothing when I came out the gate. And a lot of people, I think, start at that moment. For example, let's say you're a Reiki practitioner, or you're a dentist, a chiropractor. You come out of the training that you've had, and when you start a business, you actually have none of that training. And so that's kind of where I started. So I graduated with a degree in IT at the age of 19, and I started a software company. It was an incredible journey of learning as I grew. So that was in 1985, and how I even became, though, an entrepreneur is I didn't see that on the radar. I was living in Ontario, Canada. I had no exposure to business entrepreneurial. My parents worked in a factory, the other one worked in retail. We were definitely lower to middle class. And I'll never forget, though, the day that I was at school and one of my teachers pulled me aside and said, what are you going to be doing? You know, where are you going with this? And I said, well, I guess I'm going to be a programmer. I'll go to Toronto. I'll get a job as a programmer, and that will be that. And he said, there's absolutely no way you are going to be a programmer. He said, you are a leader. You are born for greatness. You're successful. You're outgoing. And you are going to be an entrepreneur. And, I mean, it was like a slap in the face because I didn't even know what that was. But at the same time, my body went into full glee. It was like, oh, my God, I don't have to get a job. I don't have to go and work for somebody else. I don't have to drive to Toronto every day. You mean there is another option? And I was in pure joy. I literally went home that day and said, you know, God, what is this entrepreneur? What do you do? You know, that type of thing. And from that moment, I started research, and I realized one thing. All you need to do is find a gap and fill it. And so I then started to search the marketplace in the industry that I was in for where was the hole, what was happening in the marketplace that needed to be filled. And way back then, I'm going back 30 years now, and the gap was people were, and this is the interesting thing about my company, as you'll see too, I'm like a chameleon. I have changed to fit technology and what's happening in the marketplace because of the nature of the game that I'm in, which is technology is so fluid. So, you know, back then I started off as a trainer. So I was training people how to bring their accounting in-house because, you know, computers. My first computer cost me $22,000. The printer was $3,000. It cost me over $35,000 just to open my doors. Those were loans that I had to go and get. And then I started to fill the gap in the marketplace, which was bring a computer into somebody's company, train an in-house staff how to do their books, how to do the accounting so that they could get the reports that they needed every month because they were sending it out to a service at a fee of $7,500 a month. So the return on investment was 6 months, and that's how I started.
Wow. And Tracy, I'm guessing that your company is a little bit different from what you do since then. Tell us a bit more about what you do today to, you know, serve your clients.
Oh, today it's completely different. You're right. Although, here's the funny part. 20 years ago, 1994, the internet was born, okay? So, I mean, if we go back a little bit to the company, some of the milestones, because I'll evolve future forward from that. Some of the milestones was when I hit my first six figures within that kind of medium, right? I'm installing hardware and training. And then 5 years from that moment was when I hit the seven figures. So I was about 24 years old when I made my first million.
Wow.
And then, of course, constantly evolution occurred. You know, I grew to an enormous software company back then in that I had my software distributed around the world. I was serving governments, banks, lottery corporations, Fortune 100 companies. That's who my clients were. And then along comes the internet in 1994, and I'm like, whoa, what is this? I could see that that was a turning point in history. And so I started to do website development, search engine optimization, and create websites. So funnily enough, fast forward 20 years, and that's actually what I'm back to. Because during the evolution of my business, I started to train people how to do it. You know, I started to show people how to do the landing page, the branding, the list building, the what should your website look like, what should the structure be, et cetera. But the problem is technology was so overwhelming to most people, they still couldn't do it despite the fact that, you know, the training was exact and visual and showed everything. It just wasn't happening because most people have the skill they do, and then, you know, I have the skill I have, which is the technology part. And so 3 years ago, I actually went back to just doing it. I started to take over all the projects. Quite frankly, it's way more work than my business was before, because now I'm doing the logo, the landing page, the whole website. We're developing this for clients, but it has become more rewarding. And that is some of the shifts that you'll experience as you evolve through your company. What is your big mission and purpose and ultimate destiny? And mine was to really help women launch their business and do it right. And that's how I moved back to doing the websites and helping people launch that way. So it's almost gone full circle in 20 years.
Yeah. And so, Tracy, you know, as I'm listening to you, a question pops up in my head, and that is, I find that for a lot of business owners, you know, they stay true to what they're trained in. And what I noticed about you is that you know, because you're in this industry where there's a lot of changes and evolution, and, you know, technology moves in a pace that's so incredibly fast that you have to always reinvent what you do. And so a question comes up for me around, you know, what are some of the strategies that you were able to use to allow yourself to adapt the company in that way? Like, I can imagine, you know, someone listening and saying that, hey, this is what I'm trained to do and this is what I know how to do. And it's a little bit scary to think about shifting the company and pivoting the company and going into areas and technology and industries that they might not know very much about. And so what are some things that worked for you, you know, as you've had to pivot your company to, you know, evolve the products and services?
Yeah, and I mean, quite frankly, if you're not in the technology business like I am, you're lucky. You probably don't have to pivot and move as much as I do, because I have to learn 10 paces ahead of when you know, my market hears it. You know, I have to stay up on all the social medias. It means I am literally in training every single day. There isn't a day where I haven't purchased a product, taken a look at it, evaluated something that's going on in the marketplace, analyzed it, put a pin in it, whatever. Constantly I'm having to do these things, so that when a client says to me 2 years ago, should I be on Pinterest? And at the time my answer is no. I say, secure your brand, but you don't have to go running to it. Just make sure you own your domain, own the Pinterest.com/, in my case, Tracy Repchuk, right? Just make sure you own it, but you don't have to be there. And so it allows me to be the guider of my clients so that they do not have to get overwhelmed, because they, yes, in their industry, they're going to have to keep up with what's happening. So, but it will probably not move at such a crazy pace as mine does. Like, for example, if you are in the holistic field or you are in nutrition, you do have to look at, you know, different things that are happening. But quite frankly, it's not going to be, you know, as dramatic as, good Lord, a full new social media platform just dropped. What do we do with it? You know, in your case, it might be sugar versus paleo, you know, the pros and cons type of thing. And so you're evaluating alternatives that your clients need to know and learn. I think that's the biggest thing about being in business, is you constantly have to do a few things. One of them is keep learning. And the second is see change before it changes you. That way you can be ready, you can get pieces in place, you can be proactive in putting the systems and procedures and policies there that you're going to need to strongly make the pivot. Like, I, you know, as if I go through my now 30-year career as an entrepreneur, I've never had a job. I went straight from, in fact, I had started my business before I even left college and got my first client. And so it was an ability to see the next thing that was coming and then get the pieces in place. Because, you know, if we look at even the approach to the year 2000, right, in the software industry, that was a mega load of a boom for us, because everything wasn't going to go from 1999 to the year 2000. Every piece of software that was out there needed to be modified, and I was part of the teams that was doing that and handling that for my clients. And so then after 2000, though, guess what? The entire industry changed. And that's why we had, you know, dot-com booms and dot-com busts, is that all of a sudden and people that were stable in that need and necessity did not forecast, now what? That crisis is gone. Now what do we do? And that's where being in business for yourself, you have to look at all of the opportunities and the change points that are happening within your industry and adapt. And there are changes occurring whether you see them or not.
I love that. And Tracy, you know, as you're talking about the different shifts and changes that you've made in your company, I want to spend a few minutes talking about how you've expanded your business. You know, as you talked about that you know, it took you 5 years to build a company and then, you know, hit your first $1 million. And it's been a number of years since then. And so perhaps you can share with our listeners on how you've expanded your business in terms of, I know we've talked about adding products and services and you're constantly evolving, but maybe one of the things that I know that you do very well as well is kind of you've expanded from maybe a local marketplace into building really a fairly international type of presence and market for your company. Could you share with our listeners a little bit more on product or on business expansion? You know, what are some of the things that worked for you in terms of growing clientele outside of the, you know, of a physical region that you're in?
Totally. And in fact, this goes back to the point I just made, which was when things are happening in an environment, in an industry, you have to react. So if we take a look at the year 2008, when particularly here in the U.S., it was practically a collapse of the economy. All right. And so I'm in an industry. It's very aggressive. You know, there's a lot of people in it. And it was internet marketing, you know, things of that nature. Right. And so I had to look, okay, if it has collapsed here, what's my next logical step? And quite frankly, the next logical step was to go international. And the beauty of the internet, and one of the most one of my favorite things about it is the world has shrunk. I mean, it's just so small because you can be anywhere in the world. You can service anything in the world, and you know, unless you got like a restaurant. But if you are a service provider, a speaker, an author, or you provide a service that can be global, go global. And that's exactly what I did. So in 2008, I started to seek opportunities outside of the U.S. And so that became my target markets were United Kingdom, Singapore, Australia, simply because they were English-speaking and outside. And so I booked speaking gigs in those countries and absolutely floored it. I mean, every single country, you know, Switzerland, every single country that I was dropping into, I was like the cream because they'd never seen anything like me. And I was doing six figures in appearance. So I would go, I would speak in Switzerland and boom, six figures. And then I'd go, I would like 2 days later be in the UK and boom, six figures. And then 4 days later I'd be, you know, somewhere else and boom, six figures. And then I'd be in Singapore. And then I'd do Australia and I'd do seven cities in Australia. And that's what it started to be like. You want to make money fast, man. That was how I was doing it. I was pulling in $100,000 for each appearance because I was a platform seller. So I was selling from the stage. Mm. So that's literally how I did it. And that, you know, and now I've spoken in 35 countries around the world in a very short amount of time, simply because that was the way I chose for my business to go, and that was how I knew it was going to move to the next level, because it was just so depressed in the economy in the U.S. And so I was booming while everyone else was struggling because I saw a shift in the economy and in an industry.
And so, Tracy, if we have listeners that are tuning in today and they are, you know, feeling like, hey, I want to do that too. You know, I have this product or service that is very much in, you know, with a good presence in a local area, but I really want to take it out elsewhere. And I really feel like I can, you know, bring that to other cities and other geography and other regions. What should they do? What should they first think about in terms of, you know, setting up that platform, if you will, for themselves to be able to, you know, attract outside of their own physical region?
And that therein lies the perfect question, and here's why. When you are ready to move internationally, there are exact steps that I take my clients through. And so the first one is we have to be able to identify truly who is your target market. Most people skip that step. And this is how you go international. Once we know who your target market is, Then we have to build a brand around that target market and establish a unique selling proposition so that you can pop in the marketplace. Then we need to get the list building mechanism in place. The first site I built for people is a landing page. Most people don't even have that in their repertoire, and they're missing the piece that helps your business grow. That's like a systemized element that people are skipping, and that was the way I grew. It's how I became an international best-selling author. It's how I got, you know, speaking gigs. It's how I became known around the world was the list-building mechanism in the landing page. Once I get that in place for a client, then I do the fully branded website. And so now your website professionally matches you, helps you rise above the competition and reach millions with your message, because now you are represented so solidly online that if you are trying to reach, you know, people in the UK or in Australia or in different regions, when the only thing they got to gauge you by, unlike when we go to a networking event and we meet each other face-to-face, the only thing they have to gauge you by is your website. So if your website right. isn't working for you, it's working against you. And so this is the first place I start with everybody. If they want to go global, in fact, if you want to beat out local competition in a much bigger way, then you had better look good online. Your online presence better be solid. And then if you want to go global, that's all you got. And then that it really has to be smoking hot, because now you're competing against people that they could pick locally versus you. So that's the first place I go. And that is the starting point of your, what I will call the platform, in that once you have this, and that's a great example, too, of a system and a procedure. Once you have that foundation in place, now you can launch everything else. For example, people are doing social media like spaghetti on the wall. One, they have no idea where they should be spending their time. But two, they haven't branded it. They haven't picked a name that matches what they're doing or who they are, or they're confused between business, niche, and personal. And this is why I always, every single client I get, I have to step right back to square one so that we can make sure you're ready to build a platform and launch. And that, of course, is an element of expansion as well.
Yeah, and Tracy, I think for some of our listeners, you know, this whole changing technology, social media, list building thing might sound like it's, you know, it's something that sounds complicated, or that they just are not, maybe not technology inclined. And so if, you know, if we had listeners that are just curious about, you know, is this something that they should learn themselves? Is it something that they should hire someone to do, or, you know, find an intern who maybe took a course? What would you suggest are, you know, good ways for entrepreneurs in, you know, early stages of building their platform to consider when it comes to, right? Like there seems to be a million internet gurus and experts, and they're all selling courses on different, you know, aspects of online marketing. How would you help them navigate through that? Or, you know, maybe another question is, what's the best, like, is there a framework that they can use to think about how to, you know, how do they know who they should work with to help them really build this platform?
Yeah, I mean, there's two pieces. One, the first answer I'm going to say is to hire guidance, hire the right guidance. And here's the reason why. You're dealing with the biggest marketing piece of your business, period. And so, you know, a lot of people now that are starting companies don't realize or don't understand the importance of marketing. They just figure, hey, I'm great at this, and people are going to know it, and yay, I've opened up my business, and I'm an awesome life coach, or I'm an awesome this, and things will just happen. Nothing happens without marketing, and more frankly, nothing really big is going to happen unless your online presence professionally matches you, because that is how marketing is done nowadays. Now, when I started, again, back in 1985, it was Yellow Pages. If you were not in the Yellow Pages, you did not exist. And I was spending $7,000 a month in Yellow Page ads because you had to buy every single city that you wanted to be detected in.
Right.
And so that was a marketing cost per month for me right out of the gate. And so what people are doing is saying, oh, I got no money. Well, if you got no money, how are you starting a business? Again, I had to get a loan. I had to put credit card debt. I had to build it properly from the beginning. And that's what I encourage people to do, because here's what will happen. If you do not hire somebody that can really help you create the blueprint you need to properly be online or to move forward through the marketing elements of your brand and your online presence and your list building and all of the pieces, because there's too many for you to learn. I'll tell you that right now. Do not attempt to learn it. Attempt to understand it, but don't attempt to learn it. It's why I wrote my book, 31 Days to Millionaire Marketing Miracles. That's the A to Z of internet marketing. That's the only piece you need to see what's going to go from end to end on what exactly you need to do to truly build your business and to truly have a good online presence. But is that book designed for you to do it? No, it's not. You could, but it's not designed that way, because if you spent your time on technology as opposed to what you're good at, or marketing as opposed to what you're really good at, you're going to find all your time gets eaten. And so now you have no time to sell and deliver, which is different. You know, selling and marketing, and those are two different skill sets. So I would recommend hiring. And here's my thing about, you know, who do you hire? Who do you trust? One, work within your community. There's a reason eWomen, you know, selected somebody like me to service the members. And then there's a reason we have the eWomen community, because we have amazing, powerful women that know so much things about so many different topics that we can live within our community, quite frankly, and build each other as we climb. That's why communities, that's why Sandra put this whole community together, so that, you know, we could become powerhouses and help each other along the way. And here's what happens, though. You attend a seminar or internet marketing event in particular, and what they show you, there's two things. One, they show you something that is push button. I can tell you right now there is no push button answer. They will make it look like there is, and, hey, you just push this button and you have Facebook ads, and yay, money comes in the door, and you just push this button and you'll have a membership site, and yay, money comes in the door. It will never, ever, and has never worked that way. And I would, and if it does, I promise I will shout it from the rooftops to everybody, and I'll show you the step-by-step way for free. Because it doesn't. The way they're making money is by selling you the dream of the push button. So avoid anything that's that easy. And the second piece is you're buying one piece. Now, and this is the whole reason why I created that book in the beginning, was because people were going and they were buying traffic solutions, and they were coming right out of the gate and they're buying a traffic solution because this guy said, hey, if you have traffic, man, your life is perfect. You're set. Your business is good to go. But the problem is you are driving traffic to your website as opposed to a landing page. Yeah. You're flushing money down the toilet. If you're driving to a landing page that isn't effective, you're flushing money. You know, there's all of these, this sequence, this logical sequence that must be in place before you start building your platform, building your marketing. And so, it's going to be a shock for a lot of people that are just starting out and struggling and say, I got no money yet. You're in the chicken and egg phase. And quite frankly, you're going to have to get out of that phase by investing properly in a good model to break you out of the competition, to put you in top, especially if you want to be a speaker. If you don't have an effective speaker site, you're just not going to get booked. And so you're stopping your own income by not properly marketing online. And so that's kind of the piece that I'll stress there. And I know people don't want to hear that they have to invest first, but you do. I had to invest first in my company. It's simply kind of the way it is when it comes to a startup. You know, you just invest, believe so much in your idea, you're willing to put some money on the credit card.
And so, Tracy, one question for you is, what are some of the things that you're investing in your own company, you know, for growing your own company?
Oh, man, I at least, and here's the, when I first started back in, and I'll call it internet marketing, because I moved from Canada to the U.S., and started from ground zero. No list, no contacts, nothing. All I had was knowledge in my head to begin this journey. And I invested $100,000 in my very first year. And I continue to do that. And even in the first, you know, first year or whatever, when that's all I made, everything I made went into the next, what I'll call mentor, coach, system, and procedure that I needed to learn. And so I think that's one of the biggest things is, one, the constant investment, and two, you have to seek out the help that you need. And that's exactly what I did. And so today, you know, I invest in people like Sandra as my coach. I invest in, I have a speaker coach. I have a branding and business coach. So there's $75,000 right there. I have an internet marketing coach. There's another $10,000. I have, and then, of course, there's my personal development, which, quite frankly, is probably $45,000 a year. And so I'm not throwing out figures to scare people. I'm telling people that in that first year when I you know, invested as heavily as I grew, because that's what you're doing. You're constantly putting the money back into your business so that you can grow. I mean, when we see billion-dollar companies right now like Priceline and Amazon and those types of things, right, nobody remembers the fact that their first 3 years they lost, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. That's the risk in the game because they were constantly investing back into the technology that needed to be structured and put in place. It's a game of risk in the beginning. And people aren't playing that game hard enough. They're so afraid of losing the game that they don't go all in. And so, but in my first 6 months of becoming an internet marketer, I had made $100,000. And so right off the bat, one, I knew I was on the right path, and two, I made that, quite frankly, because I invested in coaches that told me how to make it that path. And so
Tracy, what I want to do is go quickly to a commercial break, but I want to spend, you know, when we come back from our commercial break, what I want to spend a bit of time talking about, as you touched on this a little bit, is that, you know, it feels risky and it feels, you know, we're talking about building a platform and, you know, scaling to a seven-figure business. And part of that, I think, you know, that isn't talked about so much is, you know, that CEO mindset to, you know, what's required for a CEO to take their company to multiple, you know, seven figures or multiple seven figures is very much in the mindset that you take. And so I know that a lot of things that I hear from entrepreneurs is that they, you know, it's scary and it feels risky. And so I want to talk more about this thing about playing small. And what are some of the things that you use in your own business for you to continue to stretch and, you know, take the game to the next level. And so when we come back from our break, we're going to chat more with Tracy Repchuk on how to grow and scale your seven-figure business. And so stay with us and we'll be right back. Are you tired of running solo? My passion and mission is to help you grow your business so that it is profitable, sustainable, and scalable. Did you know that there are specific skills you need to master in order to build a business that is successful and brings you fulfillment? To find out more, visit CoachFeliciaLee.com today to get your roadmap on how to move from being self-employed and feeling overwhelmed to being the CEO you are meant to be. My name is Felicia Lee, and I'm committed to inspire and equip you to build the business of your dreams. Connect with me today at CoachFeliciaLee.com.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network. You're listening to Felicia Lee on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back, and this is your host, Felicia Lee, with the radio show Jumping the Gap, and with me today is Tracy Repchuk from TracyRepchuk.com. And so, Tracy, I want to pick back up our conversation before the break. You know, we talked a lot about building a platform and building, you know, a really great branded website, and then, you know, that as a first step to really building your online medium, online marketing strategies. And so one of the things that I want to chat a little bit more about in terms of peeling back the curtain, if you will, is, you know, what does it take for an entrepreneur to play at that level in running a seven-figure company? And so maybe you can share with us, you know, I just, again, just in the last half hour, I just hear this drive and this enthusiasm and this, like, you know, take no prisoners and, like, nothing's going to stop me from going where I want to go. And so from an external perspective, I can, you know, I feel that some of our audience feels like, well, that's great for her because she just has this personality that she can do it. But I'm not like that. And so would you share with us a little bit about the inner journey of, you know, what it took for you to grow that seven-figure business? And maybe we can start with, you know, my first question is, are you born like this, or, you know, is this something that you've had to learn over time to play at the level that you're playing at?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. You know, for example, I've always had the a mindset where if I set a goal, I'm going to reach that goal no matter what. That was, I'll call that I was born with that. And so that's a little, but that attitude can be learned, and that's where personal development comes into play. But it's a funny thing because, quite frankly, I'm almost an introvert. And this is where people go in shock when they see or know that, because a lot of people think I'm massively outgoing. I am, like, I'm on the stage in front of 9,000 people. All of these things don't say introvert. But here's the point I'm making there is you have to go out of your comfort zone. And this is where how you play big. You can never play big inside your comfort zone. It just doesn't, it's a place that doesn't exist. So the one thing I have learned, and I used to call them quantum leaps. I would take what I would call a quantum leap, and that means I would let go of the bar if I'm on a trapeze or something, and I'm swinging, and I let go of the bar, and I am free-falling and praying that I don't splat on the pavement, and that next bar comes. And here's where that's risk, right? That's faith and risk and all of these elements combined. Here's what I've noticed. One, I've never died when I've hit the pavement, okay? Because have I fallen? You bet. Have I scraped my knees? Have I gone a little bit of a, in a way, yes. But I've always bounced back. And I think because the fact is we don't hit the pavement, we hit a net. And so the net is there. The net cushions us a little, and sometimes we stay down there for a minute while we recoup our losses or regain our confidence, whatever happens to you. And then you bounce a little bit more, you bounce yourself back up, and you grab the rung again. That's kind of how I have lived, with letting go, taking the risk, having faith that the next piece is going to be there for me, and living outside of the comfort zone. The second I feel comfortable, I know I'm not going to grow. And so just always evaluate your own position. And by comfort zone, I don't mean you're busy. I mean, are you terrified about something you're doing? Like for an investment, you know, the first time I invested $100,000 in somebody, I was terrified. I thought I was going to die. You know, it just is that feeling. And for a lot of people, it's the first time they invest $10,000, you know, because that is so big and huge to them. So your level of comfort is what it is, and then you know when you're outside of it because you're a little bit panicked, and that's a great place to be. As long as you're just using your internal guidance, like, for example, you know, when we're investing in somebody amazing like Sandra as a coach, which is somebody who I've invested in. And why do I do that? Because she's making multiple seven figures. I don't know how to make multiple seven figures, multiple millions. I haven't reached that level. So always invest in the person that's, you want to kind of be, and you want to move towards that skill level and things of that nature. And that takes risk because you're pulling money out of your pocket, out of your business, and putting it into somebody else. And here's the thing, though. The work always comes down to you. The responsibility to make it work always comes down to you. So that's the other thing. When you are investing, never let go of your cause point, and which means, yes, I'm going to build all your websites, your brand, your landing page, we're going to launch you. You're going to be ready to go. Your job doesn't go away, though. At that point, you still have to sell. You still have to be able to close a client and things of that nature. And that's a risk, and that is scary and outside of a comfort zone. I am not a natural seller, for example, way out of my comfort zone. I am a technology geek. I used to sit in a room and create programs. I used to sit in a room and develop websites. Now I actually got thrust onto the stage simply, again, because of the nature of the business. When, if we go ups and downs in the business, right, we had a massive down in our software company. And at that point, somebody had to sell. And there was nobody around to do that, and that had to be me. And so you have to have the do-whatever-it-takes attitude, which is something I'll say I was born with that piece. But it's sure a scary thing, you know, when I had to go out and all of a sudden go on stages and be the salesperson from somebody who was in the back room quite happily just developing things and creating things. And so that's how I know I'm always going to be moving forward, is if I'm never comfortable.
Mm. And so, Tracy, as you're talking about that, I'm reminded of meeting many entrepreneurs as a managing director of the Vancouver chapter of eWomen Network. I meet many women entrepreneurs. And part of the thing that I feel that everyone struggles with is this whole thing about, knowing that there's many things that we don't know how to do, and some of them we have to learn and figure out, like you said, and I think you just gave a lot of technology geeks hope that they can, learn to be, grow a company and be the salesperson, which might be scary for them. But, what comes up for me is there's all these things that we don't know how to do. How do you know which ones are the ones that you absolutely, which are the skills or which are the things that you absolutely have to master? And which are the ones where, forget it. Like, that's just not the thing that you should be focusing your time on. Like, I see many people, for example, doing social media themselves, and they are trying to figure out Facebook and they hate it and they don't know what to do about it. But because, it's like, hey, I'm learning. I'm learning this thing called social media. And so I'm spending my time figuring out what this whole social media thing is about. So for you, how do you know what are the skills that you absolutely must learn, and which are the ones that you say, forget it, I'm just going to hire someone else to do this for me?
Well, in the beginning, the skills you need to learn are you have to be able to sell your services because there's just you and you between you and the client, right? So you're going to have to be a closer. I had to learn selling. I tell you, I've taken more sales courses from everything from soul-based selling to scripting to all of those. I simply had to learn that as a skill. And so if you have a natural ability to sell, and then that's great. Here's what I have found with most of my clients. They're brilliant at what they do. And they're brilliant at maybe telling people what they do, but they don't ask for the money, which means that piece has to be embedded, because they're like, okay, they'll carry the whole conversation and then not have the guts and go out of the comfort zone to say, is that cash or check, period. So
right.
There's those types of things that you have to learn and do. And then, like, social media, let's bring him up, because he's the elephant in the room, quite frankly, for businesses nowadays.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. What you need to know about social media is where you should be and what you should be saying and doing. And that, quite frankly, is a piece that people do not know. And so it's back to throwing spaghetti on the wall. They're in Facebook, and they're clicking like, and they're going down, and they're doing a cat video, and they're watching something, and they're commenting. There is no strategy in place. period. So what do you need when it comes to social media is the why of what you're doing, and then you do the things that work. And so that's the element. Now, if we go back to can you outsource social media, it's a really hard thing to outsource. I have a whole outsourcing company, artery of my company. So people can hire our company to do social media for them. I always warn people, though, before they do it, even though I make whatever, anywhere from $495 to $1,000 a month per client, I warn them before they take that leap. Because social media is a very intimate piece of how you communicate to others. Can you have people posting it for you? Absolutely. I do very little of my own posting, and I make sure clients get a product like Hootsuite and get somebody else to load the stuff for them and have it sequence and schedule. And then, you know, there are pieces you can farm out. But this is back to that selling, back to you communicating with your target audience. And it's like a network event. You know, it's like sending somebody in place of yourself at a networking event, and hopefully they sell you as a speaker. It's a very, very hard thing to do. You have to show up to the networking event and pretty much sell yourself as a speaker. And just like online, you have to sell yourself for the service that you're good at by making connections. Here's where it's collapsing, is people are thinking in terms of volume. They're thinking, oh, man, I have to have a list of 30,000 people, and I have to have, a whole pile of people on my social media. And in a way you do from a platform perspective as a speaker, author, you know, for credibility. But here's what you don't need to do. You don't need to engage everyone. You just need to engage those who specifically want your services. And you weed them out by the way you communicate online. And you ask questions that particularly, hey, you know, what is a problem that you've had this week? And the three people that maybe pipe in with a comment, there's your target audience. They have a problem. They've just admitted to it. So now you don't go running to the next question and just get yourself in this robotic, repetitive mode of social media. You now engage those three people. You go offline. You go to their direct message and you say, hey, I noticed you had a problem with this. Would you like a strategy call? I'd love to help you out with that. And, of course, you're having a strategy call. You're getting to know their problem in more depth, and then you're giving them a resolution in your services. This is where people are missing the boat, and that's the type of thing I teach so that you do not get overwhelmed with social media thinking you have to do 1,000 posts a day and 200 tweets and this and that and the other thing. It's not about volume. It's about the quality of what you're doing up there.
Wow, Tracy, thank you so much for, very practical and specific steps about, you know, just sharing with our audience on how to really think about social media. And I think one of the things that, you know, as you're talking about it, it reminds me that often it's not really about what we do, but it's more about how we think that really impacts the outcome of our business. And so, you know, about scaling a business. And so, Tracy, you know, my next question around that is, you know, I know that for you, you are very much the face and the brand of your organization. And one of the questions that come up as you're scaling a company is this debate between, you know, should I be the face of the company? Should I be the brand? Should I, you know, pick a different company name? Should it be my products that I really be, you know, that I'm promoting? For you, so two questions around that. First question is, you know, whether you should be really the face of the company? And the second question is, when you are the face of the company, you know, how do you build the backstage of your company so that you're not, you know, the person that everyone comes to and ask, you know, that they want a piece of you? And so you're getting tons of emails about, you know, all requiring your attention. I want to talk a bit about what you do on the backstage to help you scale that company. But let's tackle the first question first. Why Tracy Rapchuk as the brand versus, you know, complete marketing system something as part of your brand? Would you walk us through, you know, your rationale and how you mm-hmm. want to be represented?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? It's a great question because it's the very first place we almost start with every client. And here's how that is established. What is your goal? you know, the very first thing I do with somebody is I send them a very extensive questionnaire and I look at it. And then I look at what is your goal in like 3 years. And so I'll give a client example on this, and then I'll wrap it back to me. In that, I have one client right now, and everything was going to be on her name. We were about to build and launch the whole brand on her name because that's what she wanted, right? So then I get the questionnaire. We're going through what's called the Online Clarity Cleanse call, and I'm going through that with her. And then all of a sudden, towards the end of the call, she says, I always ask this, now what's your 3-year goal, right? Now, if the 3-year goal is, I want to be a speaker and an international author, and I really want to travel the world and make an impact and blah, 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 right? Then the brand right now and it stays as her name. Here's the other thing. It's okay to move your brand and shift it as your company moves. And this is, I'll get to me in a minute on that. Okay, so boom. That one sentence alone changed everything. Because I said, okay, so what do you want in 3 years? She says, I want a wellness institute. And I want it to be this, and I want all these coaches and trainers underneath me so that I'm not working too hard. Well, boom, her 3-year vision then needs to be moved up to today. And that's simply the nature of how her call came out. So now we're opening up under the Institute with her name. So and so it becomes the goal of where you are in your business. And you don't have to plan this big academy or institute or company if that's not where you are yet or where you want to be in the next short time, because there is something very credible and leveraging about you being the brand, you being the face, you being the authority, you getting all the credibility, you getting all the notoriety, and you being hired as a speaker. It's the path I just went. So for the last 7 years, I have been the brand. And that's exactly what I wanted for me. Now we're at a transition point, and we talk about that's why it's okay that the brand changes. I'm at a transition point right now so that I can grow again, because you will hit a ceiling sometimes with just, you know, that as the brand formation if you, again, don't put these strategies and procedures in place for the growth, which is what, you know, kind of back to the question you asked, how do you not get asked? Well, You do put systems and procedures in place to assist. And in my case, how I coped with that for 7 years is only high-level clients get to me. That's where all the products and services and varying levels come into play. So, you know, high-level clients are the ones that got access to me, and that's the way you can keep it as a growth function. But now where am I, right? Now I want to hit a higher level. And that is going to require me now to shift to a company name or shift to something else with Tracy Repchuk. And that's where I am moving at right now. So now it's like instant online impact with Tracy Repchuk. And what that is going to allow me to do is still leverage me as the brand, because this year, or maybe for the next 2 years, I don't know how long this transition will last, but now we're going to transition with me in the title of what you're going to get, which is instant online impact. Now, and then later, when we pull me out of it entirely, and if that occurs so that just the company is operating or just the whatever is operating, it could just be instant online impact. And then with the unique selling proposition, and, you know, get fully branded online web presence in under 60 days. So I'm out of there completely, possibly. I don't know if that's where we're going, but here's the door that is open for that evolution, simply because that's the path that you will start to take. So every single person that I meet with, there is a different answer. You know, speakers, authors, business entrepreneurs, whatever, wherever you are in your business, that answer, that branding answer comes from, what is your goal? And then it's okay. I already have people shifting after being with me for 2 years now to away from the name to, again, the thing I'm doing, the transitional moment. And that's what I'll say about, you know, about all of it is it's a changing, moving plant. If we take a look at eWomen, eWomen has always been the foundation of the company that Sandra built. But now Sandra is pulling herself out and becoming a brand in her own right. And so now she's got a dual brand in operation. And so she's a prime example of somebody who has both now and is transitioning in a new place for herself, because she's built the business exactly the way she wants it. She's at a different season of her life, just as I am.
Fantastic. And so, Tracy, I love what you shared about how at the end of the day, to make sure that your branding and your, you know, how you, the strategies that you use to market are in line with the goals that you want to achieve in the, you know, in the 3 to 5 year time frame, in the short and medium time frame. And so, Tracy, we've got a couple of minutes left in our program, and I just wanted to, you know, have you maybe share with our listeners, for those of, you know, for those listeners that are in the stages of their business where they are, you know, trying to build a seven-figure company, and, you know, what is the most important thing that they need to know about that journey? When I know that you've worked with many entrepreneurs in marketing and in branding and in building websites and all that. When you, you know, if you could look back at, you know, at the work that you've done for clients and think about, Felicia, here is really the common element that they all, you know, that I see and that they, you know, if I could have a public service announcement type of a minute on the show here, what is the one thing that you want to share with our entrepreneurs and with our listeners about what it takes to grow a seven-figure business?
Okay, so what it takes is, you need to make sure that you're getting and learning the skills that you need to, and or hiring that, one of the two. Then two, you can't do it alone. You are going to need to hire people at some point. So you have to build a stable foundation of so that the company can support the income you need, pay other people on top of yourself. So and then that becomes the building block. Adding more people, adding more systems, adding more procedures, and that's how you grow, period. And so if your foundation is not properly built, it will collapse under the weight of new hires, or it will collapse under the weight of new income. For example, you might not be able to handle the throughput, right? If I didn't build the systems I have, if more than 20 websites a month come in, more than 20 high-end clients a month come in, that's the capacity I'm currently at, right? If that happens, then I have to make sure I have the systems and structure in place to handle more than that, if that occurs. And I know that would start to occur if I consistently get 17. Those are the indicators, right, of when do you get the next level in. At that point, I know I need to hire, you know, 3 more graphic designers, another website, and a manager. So therein lies the notice points which you asked about earlier. But at the same breath, therein lies the fact that if my foundation wasn't solidly built, I had a system, structure, standard operating procedures, all of that in place, I couldn't hire more staff, and then I couldn't handle the throughput of more products and services sold. That's the bottom line of what you do. You have to get into place to grow. And then you have to move yourself out as far as you can so that you can keep that strategic vision and so you can watch the marketplace and watch the environment and not get stuck, so stuck in the day-to-day that you don't see. And then you get caught in a situation where you did not see either the opportunity or the obstacle that was about to occur. And so that's where a lot of people get stuck. And again, I'll go back to the 2008 issue where I saw that the U.S. was tanking, had to go international. Those are, if I was so stuck in day-to-day, I wouldn't have seen that.
Tracy. I just loved all the wisdom that you shared today. And so for any of our listeners that want more of Tracy, you know, please visit her website at www.tracyrepchuk.com. That's REPCHUK.com. And for our listeners, thank you for tuning in today. This is your host, Felicia Lee, and our show airs every Tuesday at noon Pacific, 2 p.m. Central, and 3 p.m. Eastern. Until next week, please connect with me on CoachFeliciaLee.com for tips, resources, and roadmaps to build your profitable, sustainable, and scalable business that brings you fulfillment. We will see you next week. Thanks so much for tuning in.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.